got my refrigerator from.
So, hold on.
Are we going to talk about something specific?
I mean, I'm probably going to ask you about your podcast, what you've been up to, that type of thing. And then we'll go from there. I mean, we got, fights this weekend, so that'll be cool to talk about. My first day back at training was yesterday, so we can talk about that.
Okay.
So, this meeting is being recorded. It doesn't say it anymore. Zoom used to say that. Okay, so 3, 2, 1. Yeah, so my that refrigerator, the one that we were talking about,
casually throwing back out to the conversation.
Yeah, there's no intro anymore. I know you haven't been here in a while, but
no
intro anymore.
No, how come?
I don't know. I feel like it's weird. Like, we were just talking, and now it's going to be like, all right, we're here. Like,
have to pretend like we just met.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, sometimes I do just meet people for the first time on here, which is...
Like, you'll have them come in?
Yeah.
No, because you have to open the... Oh, you unlock the door.
Well, no, I'm saying, like, the first time we meet and actually speak to each other is on the podcast.
Okay.
That's happened to me a couple
times. So you've had people that you've met... just recently, like,
oh yeah,
okay. I thought these were all your friends, the people that you have as guests.
No,
this is good, by the way.
Let's see. Yeah, we can see your face. You can see
yourself. No, so when I'm too. Like the audio, as far as audio goes, I wanted to.
Oh yeah, I'm sure you're fine.
Yeah,
okay. I don't have headphones, so looks good to me.
Cool.
But yeah, I had a guest, I had a comedian, Brianna Woodward, who I never met. I just reached out to her, and she was all for it. And she fucking drove here from, like, Lanchester or some shit, Massachusetts. Yeah. And
that sounds far.
Yeah, she said it wasn't too bad. I mean, comedians drive all over the fucking place, so that's what she does. But yeah, it was the first time she, like, just pulled up, and we, like, met outside, and then we just came up here and just did our thing.
What?
Yeah, it was.
She sounds like a cool person.
She is, yeah. She,
oh, shout out to you.
Or one time I had John Parada on here. Do you know who John Parada is?
No.
He's another, like, local. He's actually, like, a comedian, like, legend in the area, like Rhode Island. That episode is on a hard drive that shit the bed, so I'm hopefully.
No.
Yeah, at some point I got to pay to get it recovered. But anyway, he pulled up and he's like, wait a second, I know you. Like, he didn't even know me until he saw me. He's like, I know you. And I'm like, yeah, you used to book me at the pub on Park a long time ago. And he's like, oh, shit. Yeah, I remember.
Like, from the restaurant?
No, when I used to do open mics.
Oh.
Yeah.
So he would get people that wanted to do open mics?
Yes. Yeah, so I think at the time I was looking at the Comedy Connection online, and it said there was, like, a link to a person that you could contact if you wanted to do open mics for people who wanted to, like, start comedy. And it sent me to him. So I just texted him, and it was immediately got me in a show. So
I could see you.
He's a cool guy. Fucking with this thing. I know. I got to tell people, like, I'm paying attention to you, but I don't have a producer. So if some shit goes wrong on here, I got to be looking, and I'm messing with this thing.
Now I can see the views on me. It feels like now I have to say something because the camera's on me.
I'll turn it away so you don't feel the pressure.
So that's all you have to do, right? Pretty much, because you said that if something goes wrong, but that's all you have to pretty much deal with that little thing?
Well, hopefully. I mean, the episode that's coming out or that... Well, okay, so this is coming out next Thursday. So for everybody listening, I'm in Indiana. I'm going to Indianapolis.
Okay.
So I'm pretty much there now. But we recorded this fairly early, like a week ahead of time. So this will be out next. Ooh. This will be out the 30th. So.
Gotcha.
I forgot why I even brought that up.
No, because you won't be doing an episode?
No. I mean, I'm doing all the episodes early. So.
Oh, okay.
Right. So the episode last week.
Which was what?
With Muhammad Diaby. Muhammad Diaby.
Who is this?
He's a friend of mine.
Okay.
So during that, the audio cut out on GarageBand because I do the audio and video separate.
Okay.
But yeah. Luckily,
oh, that sucks, dude.
Luckily I was also recording on Zoom the audio. It sounds wonky, but yeah. Like, I was able to like mix the two. Okay. And kind of fill in the blanks of, you know, what the GarageBand audio recorded and what mm-hmm. Zoom recorded. So that happens sometimes. Sometimes some shit happens on the computer and I got to fix it like on the fly. So
also it lets you know.
I mean, I got to watch. Like, that's why sometimes I'm like looking off to the side.
Yeah. No, I got to do the same thing too. Yeah. Before when I was recording, when I was doing my podcast, now I've sort of figured it out. I tried it on my last one. And this is how I'm going to do it moving forward. But before, my camera had a 30-minute time recording limit, which is stupid. You pay so much money for a nice camera, and then it has a 30-minute time limit.
Right.
Doesn't make sense in today's age. But you had to like pay attention closely to the time limit, and then you had to. I linked the camera with my phone, and then I was able to. Press record again whenever it stopped, but like I had to constantly look down to make sure that I didn't miss too much time,
right?
So that there's not like a black screen the whole time, like for a minute.
Yeah, no, I remember when I went to your house and we did the lost episode.
Dude, I'm upset because that's the one that you showed. I wanted people to see you putting the glove up and,
right.
And talking about obsessive aggression, which, how's that doing, by the way?
It's on the back burner right now. I'm working on some secret stuff that I'll tell you off the air if you remind me at the end.
Okay.
Because Muhammad Diaby, I said I would tell him the same thing, and he forgot. And he ended up texting me like 3 days later, and he's like, what was that secret you were going
to
tell me?
I got to do something stupid to remind myself. It's like, why did I do that? Oh, because of the thing you wanted to tell me.
Does that work? What? Do you do that often?
No. I want to see if it works, though. Yeah, I'm
so sorry. That's all right. Just get whipped cream all over my table. I don't care.
Why is it whipped cream? Oh, because you got to tell me that thing.
Right. There you go. But no, I remember when I went to your house and we did that episode, you were doing it all on your phone. And I thought that was pretty cool.
I was, yeah.
At least the video part. I thought it was cool that you could control it from your phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't want to do it that way, honestly.
Yeah.
But that's the best way I can do it. And you can actually see yourself, which is pretty cool. Because I don't know if people are conscious about the way they look. But I want to show them, like, hey, this is how you're going to look like for the video in its entirety. And I like the two-camera setup you have here. Which is what I do. In my last episode, I borrowed my friend's camera, and I just put one view on him and on the guest, and then another camera view on myself, which is the camera that I have. I have an external monitor,
right,
which I'm now able to see what I look like at all times, which is cool. And that, I paid a little bit of extra money so that I'm able to have limitless recording time.
Mm.
So I don't have that 30-minute limit anymore. And with my friend's camera, just so happens that his doesn't have one. It's the same Sony, but for some reason his doesn't have a time limit. So now I can just record for an hour. I don't like my videos to go more than an hour usually.
Sure.
If they keep talking or they have a story, I don't like the cutting them off feels weird towards the end, because it kind of feels like I don't want to talk anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But. No, I get what you're saying, but I think I'm realizing the more that I've done this, like this is going to be episode like 129 or something.
What?
There's definitely a technique to doing this. Like, there's a technique to us talking, mm-hmm. and then there's a technique to rounding it out at the end and kind of finding a way to finish without being rude. Like, you know, but I do the same thing. If people are talking, what are we on here for? You know what I'm saying? We're here to talk to each other, you know? So
I know. I want it to seem very natural.
Yeah.
But like at the end, I'm trying to make it seem like I'm grateful. Like, hey, I don't want to, I wish we would keep talking, but unfortunately I have to cut it. It's been good. Thank you very much. Or like, I'll just like a couple seconds of silence and I say, well, I just want to thank you.
Slap your legs. All right. Time to go.
Did you hear that? The knee slapper.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, the more you do it, the better you get at it.
Yeah. So let me ask you that.
Yeah.
Doing that many episodes, is there something that you've learned or want to get better at? Like, that's a lot of episodes.
Yeah.
I know a lot of them you've done yourself, but at least that consistency is something that I aspire to.
Yeah.
Like, I see you posting on your Simeon and the way that you edit it, well, on your personal
Instagram page. Yeah.
You post Simeon episodes, like bits of it, and that's something that I want to do. Like,
yeah.
I have to find little bits where we're talking and I can just cut that up and like put it on Instagram. But I like the way that you do it, and I never got to tell you, but here it is publicly.
Yeah, so I started doing that when I realized, like, this is a long form of content. Like, people aren't going to watch the whole YouTube video. Most people listen to Spotify, but to even get people in that funnel, you got to use the other platforms in a way that gets them there. So, like, in my mind, it's like, okay, Instagram, if you put a quick little blurb, do it as a Reels, or if it was a funny moment, you put that on there, maybe put a little music behind it or some shit like that. It gives people like a 30 second to, you know, a minute look into the episode. And then it gets, you know, it kind of funnels them into the rest of it. So I kind of learned that. I also do clips on YouTube now, cause I know that's a big thing. Like, you know, it'll bring, oh, okay, this guy spoke about this on there. Like, I had Carl Adams on here, who, was a 2-time national champion, wrestler in college, wrestled alongside Dan Gable. Like legend. And, I did clips of him talking about Dan Gable because people want to hear about Dan Gable. And I did clips of us talking about how he had a wrestling camp and all this stuff. So things that, you know, it's just like Joe Rogan, you see a clip and it's like, you know, fucking Cowboy Cerrone talks about how he almost died diving. You know what I'm saying? Almost got lost in a cave or some shit. People watch that and they're like, well, that was crazy. Let's watch the rest of the episode.
Right.
So as far as this part, I mean, I definitely feel like I'm better at speaking just because I've done it so much more. This is the fun part. This is the part that I enjoy the most. I mean, I enjoy the whole thing.
Talking to somebody?
Yeah, exactly. I think the reason why these are so popular is because it allows people to listen. And it almost allows people to be in on a conversation, even though the listener can't really have an input, but they can do. A lot of people have circumstances that don't allow them to speak to their friends as often as someone who has a podcast. Hey, come over, let's do a podcast. It's almost like we're hanging out and we're just, you know, there's microphones between us. Some people are so caught up with work or families or whatever else. Everybody's got things that they don't necessarily have the time to call up their high school coach and talk to them about something. You know, they don't have that. So I think that's what makes, that's what's made podcasts so big, in my opinion.
For your podcast or just
in general? In general. Yeah.
You know, there's one day I know that I'm going to do this, but I've been talking about it with people. It's one of the dreams of mine is to travel around the country and maybe one day around the world and do a podcast with the people of the world. Just like a really general and just talk to them about whatever, like learn about. Well, one of the things that I wanted to do was go to all 50 states. I don't know how possible that's going to be one day. Like maybe I'll have the time for it, but sure. I know that's going to require months of my life.
And money.
Just to do this. Yeah, exactly. So one thing I have to be well off and another thing I have to have time just for this. But I wanted to go to all 50 states and interview maybe like 3 to 5 people in each state. So there's a lot of episodes that can be made from it.
Right.
But I'd interview every like 5 people, let's say from one state. So I'll start in Rhode Island and interview 5 people from different locations, not just all from Providence and whatnot. But I want to do that just to find out about who they are in this state, how they identify themselves living in Rhode Island or in Colorado, and what their culture is like.
Sure.
So I want to learn how people live because I've never been in the West. I've never been in most states. Like, I've been to Florida, and a lot of Rhode Islanders go to Florida, but
sure,
I want to go where no Rhode Islander can say they've been before or meet the people from there. Because to me, when I say that, all right, I'm going to DR in 2 weeks. I'm going to stop in Georgia. And I want to say that I've been to Georgia. Like, oh, I went to Georgia. But I don't really count it because that's not an experience. Like, although I stopped in the state of Georgia,
right,
I didn't experience anything. But I want to stop and experience the culture. Like, when I go on vacation, to me, when I go to DR, DR to me is visiting my family in the city. That's a vacation to me. Not exactly like visiting, although I'm going to for the first time, I'm going to visit Punta Cana.
Okay.
But when people say they go to DR or any country, they've been to the nice resort part of it. For me, I love the city and its people, like how they live. That's what interests me. So I want to do that with all 50 states and just find out about people and talk to them, because I think that's something that I've always wanted to learn about people in general, but to then turn it into a podcast,
right,
would be awesome. And then record the journey and all this, like YouTube videos of everything else, not just like the podcast, because there's so much potential there, like so much material that you can get from doing that. But that's something that I want to do. And just on my, I think it was last Saturday, there was a man, I was at a restaurant, and there was a man who was sitting next to me with a younger lady, and that was his daughter. And he was telling me that on November 3rd or whatever, he was in a couple of weeks, he's like, oh, because it was my birthday celebration we were out for, and we were so close he can hear me. Mm-hmm. But then he's like, oh, how old are you turning? And I told him 27, and he's like, oh, that's cool. I'm turning 100 in a couple of weeks.
Holy
and I'm
shit.
Like, wow. Like, he looked great.
Yeah.
You would never tell that he was 99.
Right.
He's looking great, stands up, and yeah, you just never tell. And his daughter looked great too. And I'm like, in my mind, I didn't get his contact info, but I'm like, do you have anything that I can contact you with? He's like, no, just the phone number.
Mm.
And I didn't press on for his phone number, or I could have asked his daughter. But in that moment, that's when I realized, like, I want to talk to you.
That's an interesting guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know for a fact you have a lot of things to say.
Right.
You could tell me in an hour. I know there's a bunch of things that you could tell me that people would love to hear about. That you never get a chance to meet a 100-year-old man who's in that health, in that condition. And he's like, I served in World War II. I'm like, oh, that's perfect.
Holy fuck.
Like,
how often do you meet a guy that's been in World War II?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And or how many times are you going to today? I mean, you could more in the past, but they're dying, right?
Sure.
So how many more times in this timeline, like in 2021 forward, are you going to meet a man that actually served in World War II? Like, it's going to be less and less and less.
Sure.
Eventually, you won't meet anybody. They'll all be gone, unfortunately. But if I could have that footage, I'm sure one day when he passes, when he's 110, his daughter would be like, wow, like, thank you for spending some time with him, letting people know more about who this man was and his history. People like that just have a rich history. Like, I can tell 100 years is...
That's a lot.
You know.
In my mind, I don't want to get anywhere near that, if I'm being honest.
But when he looks like
that's
that...
That's a lot. Oh, my God.
Yeah, like, I've joked about this just with myself in my own head, but yeah. I would like to, on my 100th birthday, just go skydiving.
Right.
Without a parachute. Yeah.
Just finish it.
On my 100th birthday, yeah.
Dave Chappelle had a joke where he talks about, like, old-ass people. This is, like, an older special. And he's like, man, if I ever get to 85, I'm doing everything. Crack, heroin, cocaine, yeah. I don't give a fuck. Doing everything. And, like, I feel him. Like, shit. Like, my dad got a liver transplant because he was putting the booze back for a long time. But now he can't drink. He doesn't drink. But he wants to. Like, he's always like, guys, can I, you know, and we're like, no, you can't. But
How old is your dad?
He is, oh God, 1959. So he'll be 22. Oh, it's 22. 60.
I'm like, whoa.
He'll be 62, right? Or 63. Somewhere like that. Early 60s, we'll say.
Yeah. Did he have a birthday this year already?
Not yet. No. November. So
yeah, 62, I think.
Yeah. Right. So either way, whatever. Good enough.
Our brains are doing wonders right
but
now.
But I'm like, Dad, when you make it to like 80, if you make it there, drink whatever the fuck you want. Like, who cares?
Dude.
You know what I'm saying? At the end, who gives a shit? My mom had she worked with a lady whose dad was in the hospital. And the dad had diabetes, and he wasn't supposed to eat sweets, and he wasn't supposed to do this and whatever else. But the girl that she works with brought him in a jelly donut. He fucking loves jelly donuts. And the doctors are like, no, he can't have that. And she's like,
who brought it? The nurse?
No, the daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah. The girl my mom works with.
Mm-hmm.
And she brought him that. And nurses are like, no, he can't have that. No. And she's like, my dad is like 82. He's going to let him have whatever the fuck he wants. If he's already on his way out, like, who gives a shit at this point?
How long can you live like that?
Yeah, I wonder, like, why? Why not work with the daughter? I don't know.
I know. Like, it's it is weird. But no, that idea that you had, it's very reminiscent of like a Bourdain, where he goes all over the world, meets different people.
Who's that?
Anthony Bourdain. The guy that killed himself.
Oh.
No, he killed himself a few years ago. He did something Destinations. I forget the name of it. But he would go all over the world and he would meet cool people. But he was a chef. He was a world-renowned chef. And he would sit down with them and eat their culture.
Oh, that's awesome.
Whatever else. He'd go to, like, I don't know, some crazy place, Morocco. And he would eat at, like, a fine dining place.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would eat at, like, a mid-tier place. And then he'd meet with, like, the poor people who have to hunt for their food. And they make a crazy stew. And he eats that. And he meets all... And so... The idea is very much like people want to see that because, again, people don't have that ability to go and do that. People don't get to go all over the world and try food and that type of thing.
To me, that's living.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a quick side question.
Sure, go ahead.
If you were arguing with someone back and forth, let's say this was a heated podcast.
Yeah.
And like you were disagreeing with the other person. Let's say you were disagreeing with me. Would you still have like the courtesy to like switch when he's talking?
Oh yeah, totally. Totally, I would. Yeah. I haven't had that in a while. And when I did have it, I didn't have the cameras. There's one guest whose name I won't say. But we got into a bit of an argument.
Really?
He might know who he is. You know who he is. He might know who he is.
Can
if
you
he
tell
listens
me off
to this.
Air?
Yeah.
Cool.
He's the only person, well, there's a couple people who I don't think I'd have on ever again. Everybody else has been cool. But he's one of them. And it's a good thing there weren't cameras because there were moments where we're just kind of like shaking our heads at what the other guy's saying. Like,
really?
Yeah, it was a weird conversation.
Dude, how do you deal with that? Like having a long, hour-long podcast and then, like, that must feel like a long time.
Yeah.
Like people that I get along with.
Right.
Feels like a long time. Like an hour of just looking at you in the face and talking to you.
Yeah.
That's kind of exhausting.
Oh, I feel
you. Not gonna lie.
Yeah. Well, that was a real early episode. So it probably was harder then. Like now, if I got into an argument with somebody, I don't know. I can't imagine getting into an argument on here because I'm more or less an agreeable person. Like,
a what?
Agreeable. And if I'm not, then it's probably me being funny. Like,
yeah,
it's probably
me
being an idiot and joking around.
Right.
With a little bit of, like, you know, truth in there. But.
No, I mean. No, I know that you wouldn't. You try to avoid that. It's kind of.
Yeah.
Like, why would you want that for your own podcast? But I know that, like, let's say eventually you. I don't know. Like, Joe Rogan would sometimes get into it with his guests. But he doesn't have to control the video or audio or whatever. So. Jamie controls like who goes and talks back and forth and whatnot, but I don't know, maybe it gets so passionate.
Yeah, there was I know
might not get I'm not like that though. I wouldn't
Right. No, I don't get hooked on like ideas or any of that shit. Like there's some people who get really attached to like, you know, the biggest one is politics.
Like, do people talk like that at work? At your work, people talk like that at my job.
What do you mean?
Especially with the vaccines. Like, just people are, like, really one-sided.
Mm.
Just and everything that they say has, like an angle, almost. Like, it's not... I don't know. It's, like, for example, like, listening to a news source and just listening to that news source.
Right.
And everything that they say, it's kind of, like, leaning over to one side. Because I don't know politics. I don't follow. I try not to follow it. I guess John a lot. Like I try to get some info from him because it kind of seems like he's kind of neutral because he tells it just how it is and like just says the facts. But I know that at my job, people would try to like
skew you one way.
Yeah.
Well, if you don't have the mind to look past that, if you let yourself get immersed in it. Like, that happens to me sometimes, you know? Mm-hmm. Just today, it's like, you know, right now there's a big thing with how we're sending Haitians back to, like, you know.
Is that what the photo is?
I think there's, like, a problem with, I guess, Haitians are coming here as refugees and we're trying to send them back and that type of thing. And, you know, there's always been the immigration argument. And all this stuff, mm-hmm. you know, different refugees, let alone the people from Mexico who come up. And there's one side that says, hey, let them all in. We're a free country. We should be able to help them. And then there's another side that says, we can't let everybody in. I mean, what the fuck? So then, you know, you listen to both sides and you think like, oh, you know, that one's right. No, that one's right. Like, I don't know. There's probably good points on both sides,
mm-hmm.
you know, like too many people, not enough resources. But on the same token, we are supposed to be America. We're supposed to be welcoming of immigrants. So it's like, how do you balance it? There's no real way. Mm-hmm. That's how you find people picking sides, which in my mind is fucking crazy because how can you like there's some people who say, all right, I'm blue or I'm red. Whatever Red says,
mm-hmm.
I'm 100% for everything that they say, that's doesn't what matter what.
Yeah.
You're sick. You're a sick person. You can't see either. Like, that's why arguing with people, the smartest people say, oh, you know what? You're right. Yeah. You're right. Whatever.
It kind of hurts for me in the moment, just a tad bit.
Yeah.
Because it kind of feels like I'm being, like I'm not standing up for myself, sort of, like not defending myself. But then I never regret it. Mm. I never regret getting into it. Like, I don't feel like I lost.
Sure. Yeah. For me, I'm always able to, like, diffuse the conversation with humor. Like, yeah. I'll almost play into it. Like, if the person's telling me, oh, send those Mexicans back, I'll be like, yeah, those dirty Mexicans, like, whatever. Or if the next person's like, oh, we should bring them all in, I'm like, yeah, bring them all in. Like, I don't know. It's just like...
I'm the same way, dude.
Yeah, just, what do you want me? Like, I'm not going to get... Again, I don't get attached to ideas.
People are looking for that, for you to listen to their side and then...
Yeah, and then they walk away. Oh, you know what?
Rally
yeah.
with me.
Yeah, I don't know. It's... That's a weird thing.
Yeah.
Ever since I was a kid, I've been cynical about all that stuff. Like, you know, fifth, sixth grade, I had friends already. You know, James Fanning, who's been on here. He was on here with John. Dave D'Amico. Ever since we were kids, they were into current events. Like, I'm talking fifth, sixth grade. They're smart. They're geniuses, both of them. But, like, they've been into that. And it would bother them as children. Still bothers them today a little bit. Like, it gets to them, like, you know, the bad shit that happens in the world or whatever. But to me, it's always been like, you know, whatever. Like, I always made a joke about it. And they're like, you have this innate ability to just not care about that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, it goes back to George Carlin, who's a comedian, one of my favorite comedians of all time. And he says, you need a certain level of not give a fuck. I think it's true. I told my girlfriend the same thing. I'm like, you need... to not care about as much as like, because there's only so how
so
much,
true, dude.
How much energy do you have to be caring about? Oh, there's this and that and the vaccine and the COVID and, you know, people dying in Israel. And it's like, get the fuck out of here. Pick one, worry about it for 2 seconds, move on, go to work, take a shit, take a shower, That's it. Like, I don't know. Doesn't connect in my brain.
No, I see what you're saying. No, I totally agree with you too. But what I wanted to ask, like, are people like that at your job, or they just don't care?
So the restaurant industry is incredibly unprofessional. So, I mean, a lot of the conversations I have there are really stupid. Like, there's rarely any serious conversations because it's, you know, it's a stupid industry, if we're being honest. I mean, I've only worked in the restaurant industry my whole life, so I know how unprofessional it is and how, in my mind, I think it is so dumb to worry about some of the things that you worry about in a restaurant, unless you're like a chef and you have a craft and you really care about it. That makes sense to me. But like, I don't know, a restaurant manager, like a front of house manager, you need them. It's important. You need a manager. But I can't wrap my head around worrying about like, oh, we only have six, you know, chicken salt and bocas tonight. So whatever, watch out when you sell them or, you know, like, I don't know. It's weird.
So what do you do with that?
What do you mean? What do I do with like the lack of, I don't know, the lack of fucking professionalism?
Yeah.
I deal with it. I go about my shift. I don't get involved in the culture. A lot of things in my life I've been hard to assimilate to different cultures. Like even when I used to go to Triforce, there's like a culture there. There's like a gym vibe. I still felt weird. Like I would still be back in the corner, you know, working out with everybody, but just like to myself. I'm not running around saying things, whatever else. So in the restaurant industry, at the end of the shift, everybody goes and sits down and has drinks at the bar and complains all night about, oh, I got sat this at a late time. Oh, this couple was a pain in the ass. And everybody complains and sits and gives all the money that they made that night back to the restaurant at the bar. I don't do that shit. I stopped doing that shit a while ago. And even when I did go, even when I was younger and I was in college and I wanted to go out and have a good time, I wasn't sitting at the restaurant doing that. Like, in my mind, it doesn't make sense. I mean, I'll spend a little bit more money somewhere else, but another thing that people do, that people work in restaurants, they come in on their days off all the time. Come in to eat, come in to drink. I'm like...
Like normal people, like to sit down and...
Yeah.
At a table and everything?
Any job I've ever had, and I've had jobs that aren't in the restaurant industry, any job I've ever had... I want no part of that building if I'm on my day off. Like, I have no desire to go there to eat, to drink. I don't care what the discount is. I'm not going. Like, that's just what it is. I have no desire to do it. Never did.
Yeah, I actually did that for the first time at my the job where I work now. So we were picketing, and it was on my day off, and it was for 2 hours. But I showed up for like an hour and a half. And then I have a guy that I'm cool with there. I work with him. So after that, I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm hungry. So I stayed there for, there were no supervisors or anything. So I just kind of sat there after it was all done. I'm like, yeah, I kind of don't want to go. This is kind of just stuff I was deciding at that second.
Right.
Yeah, I don't want to go home. Let me talk to my friend. So I just sat there and then I ordered food and they stayed there for a couple hours. But that was a moment I enjoyed for like being with my friend and to kind of ease him, because he was by himself for like 2 hours, because the exact reason we were there, because we were short-staffed. The hospital.
Short-staffed. You guys were picketing the fact that you didn't have enough help.
Yes.
Right.
And it's been like that for a long time. So we're trying to get somebody to do something. I don't know exactly how that works. This is my first time going picketing.
Are you guys a union? Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you can't picket without a union. They'll just fire you. Yeah, I mean, because the thing with a union is it's supposed to protect the workers. So you guys are legally allowed to do that type of stuff.
That sort of stuff is pretty cool to me.
Yeah.
So I was just having fun. Like, there's like a culture of picketers, like just walking around and repeating everything they say.
Krusty Krab is unfair.
Felt exactly like that. Not gonna lie.
Right.
I thought he was actually gonna like replace the name of the person who's been unfair. Like, yeah, just say that. Because that's what they do. Everywhere we go, people want to know. Like, that sort of stuff. Right. Like, stuff that you hear all the time.
Fucking Frosted Flakes commercial.
That's what I was thinking of, too.
Yeah.
We are tigers. Mighty, mighty tiger. That's not what we said.
Right.
We said mighty union.
Oh, there we go. That works. But
it's funny because a lot of the people that are there are like in their 40s and 50s. And
this is like the most exciting thing that they've done in a while. So they're like happy.
Yeah, but they're not like passionately like repeating it. So it's not like super loud. It's just five people. And so I was joining in. That was like the fun of it, like to disguise myself kind of thing. Like, ooh, this is sort of cool. I've never done this.
Yeah.
So I was just having fun with it. But because some of the stuff is like calling the I don't know what it's called, like the CEO or whatever. No, it would be a company.
Yeah, like one of the head, the top guy, whoever the name is. Yeah,
exactly. They were calling him like greedy and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, I don't know.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't want to call him greedy, guys. I was like, hold on. But yeah. You can't like
talk. Convince everybody.
But we had a union flag. It was cool. People were honking on the street.
Yeah.
Driving by. But after that, it was like 4 o'clock. So I'm like, I'll go inside and talk to him because he wanted to go on picket too.
Yeah.
But he had to work. So I was just talking to him.
Wait, so you guys were still working during, like people still had to work during the picket?
Yeah, you could only go if you were either on your break or you had your day off.
Wow.
And
that's not a good enough strike then.
No.
You guys got to all walk out.
Yeah.
Say.
Well, that one wasn't a strike. It was just kind of like phase one sort of thing.
Okay.
Like that's the light work. But it still gets the job done, I heard.
Right.
I heard. The couple people that have been, like the one guy was like the head of union. He was a really cool guy. He was walking beside me. At one point, I'm like, who's this dude? He was like, looked weird to me. But then he introduced himself and he was the head of the union. I'm like, oh, wow. Like, so casual.
Yeah.
Like, you'd never know. But, like, I like people like that because they're like for the people.
Mm.
Like, I like when people are, that their interests aren't anything besides the people.
And which is rare.
Huh?
It's rare.
Yeah. And they and the guy who had the megaphone, which is really cool. I wanted to almost do it too. I like, what do you want me to say? I'll say it. Because I would have said it with some spirit.
Right.
But they were like, yeah, I've done like 60 strikes. I've done this for like 18 years. Yeah. So they've been there a long time. So yeah, they've said that it's worked. Like it's moved stuff. Like it's gotten stuff done. And it gets them mad. Like, the security was out. The head of security was out there. Never seen the guy who was wearing a suit. And I was like, wow.
It was legit.
I thought it was just like, hey, hear us out. But it's
more like, put together.
I didn't know how effective picketing can be.
Mm.
Like, people are still working. Like, how much effect is this going to have? But everyone is on short-staffed, and they haven't done anything about it. And, well, look at me sounding all passionate about
this. You almost got a side here.
Shoot. This is what it's like.
Yeah. No,
fighting for a cause.
That sounds like a legitimate cause. What happened?
No, it just sucks. Like, can I just like be properly staffed? That's all.
Yeah, right. I think every place right now, nobody wants to fucking work. It's unfortunate. But then again, kind of a wake-up call for companies, kind of a wake-up call for people. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, we're getting treated this way. Like, it's been this way for a long time. We've been paid not enough money, clearly, because everybody just stayed on unemployment. So why would you go back to work if you're making more money on unemployment? Like, it only makes sense. So as rough as a picket or a strike or any of that stuff can get, it does make a difference if you're doing it for the right reasons. Like, that seems like a legitimate reason. I drove I was driving on Mineral Spring in North Providence, and there's this place called Douglas. On Mineral Spring? Or in North Providence?
Oh, I live right in North Providence.
Okay.
Off of...
Charles Street, right?
Like a street next to Arignos.
Yeah. No, I've been there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been there.
I live really close. Like 9 minutes. I like this area.
Yeah, it's cool. But I was driving over there, and there was a liquor store. You've probably seen it. Douglas Liquors.
Is it right on?
It's on Mineral Spring, but it's like deep in North Providence. Like if you go...
Deep is... It's like...
near Lowe's.
Oh, okay. Like
yeah.
Smithfield. Like the
Douglas, Smithfield, yeah. Douglas that goes... Douglas goes across.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's Douglas from the like the intersection
yeah.
where the Lowe's is at.
Yeah.
And that gas station.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay.
But there's a liquor store over there.
I always forget.
And I don't know who was protesting. I don't know if it was the workers. I don't know if it was regular people. But they were protesting the price of the wine that they were selling. The price. They're like, they're selling, the wine's too expensive here. As if you couldn't just go somewhere else. Like, that's a nonsense cause. Like, stay in your house. Stay in your house.
So the
like,
customers were?
It might have been the customers. Because I can't imagine, I mean, how, there's no union in a liquor store. Like, you just work there or you don't. Yeah. We're local 232 fucking liquor union. Like, what the hell is that? They just fire you. No, it was like a weird, I wanted to like throw shit at them, if I'm being honest. Like, go the fuck back in your house. Stupid.
Throw them a $30 bottle of wine.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what do you want? Like, wine is what the fuck it's priced. But,
I thought that you...
You bastard. I've done that before. Right. Huh? I've done that before. And the like, I listen to it back and the other person will be talking. You just hear in the really? Background, like me. And I'm like, fuck.
Shoot. If I knew what I sounded like, this is a lot of things I probably would fix.
Right.
Like, I would probably... Oh, I can't hear myself here.
Yeah.
Which is one of the problems.
Not having headphones.
No, with having a guest that, like, I have to remind.
Yes.
They can be farther away. Like, they don't know the proper way to do a podcast. I don't blame them. They've never done one.
Right. For my 100th episode.
It also feels weird to, like, jump into... like, there are conversations that I've wanted to continue just now, yeah. actually. And then you just jump into a whole new thing.
We do
and I would just run with it. That's what my attention was like.
Oh, yeah.
So I just wanted to say that.
No, that's how, you know, it's... Oh, hold on. Go ahead. Keep waving. There you go. Now they can see it.
Hello.
That's... but that's how people talk. I mean, you know, just a lot more interrupting. In real life, people aren't really good at conversing or mm-hmm. conversating. I don't think conversing is a word, but conversating. Like... People just kind of interrupt each other, talk over each other. I want to make my point. Like,
yeah. Or one thing that they'll do is they'll wait for you to say something. Like, you tell me that you just moved into this apartment.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, cool. Well, I just bought this condo.
Yeah. They don't ask you shit about what you're doing.
Yeah. They'll just like try to like, yeah. Oh, you had your 2 weeks vacation and you went to Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm going to Bermuda in a couple months.
Yeah.
Like, they'll just top whatever.
People personalize it.
Yeah. But
they'll be like, when I went to Florida, I did this and this and this. It's like, motherfucker, we're not talking about you.
Yeah. You almost feel like, I don't want to force people to care, but right. Geez, it's like a little crazy.
Well, I also think, like, when you're talking in a format like this, like... Mm-hmm. You want to get both people to say things. So if you tell me something, I try my best to not go and say, oh, well, when I did this, then whatever. Unless, you know, we're talking about experiences and shit. There's room for everything. There's circumstances, yeah, there's context. And that goes back to what we were talking about before, how people pick sides and whatever. Without any context, without any circumstance. Circumstances don't exist anymore. It's you said this, concrete words. That's it. Like, it's just like those commercials where I think it's like Verizon or something. And it's talking about like how people, don't get only half the conversation. Like it cuts out.
Yeah,
it cuts out. And the lady comes with like a costume on. She's like, but really, it's like, oh, it's not a costume party. But she heard, oh, it's a costume party.
She dresses like a...
a Viking or whatever it was. Yeah,
some restaurant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom, that was a commercial. Tom Brady and someone else.
Yeah, him and Gronk. They did the same thing.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, oh, we're coming back, some shit like that, and he ends up making a comeback and whatever. Like,
I forgot what he tells him.
Yeah, I don't remember either. But, fuck those commercials.
Huh?
Fuck those commercials.
I'm like, really? Is service really that bad?
Yeah.
I'd understand if it was like 2008.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just that. But the thing is, like, oh, it would cut. But then when you see the video quality, I'm like, how is that cutting?
Yeah. That looks pretty damn good.
It's like 1080p, bro. Like,
right.
When you're chatting with someone, it's never that clear.
Mm.
So how is it that you're getting that clear picture, but like the service is cutting out like that? I would imagine that the video would cut down to like 480p before it ever does that.
Sure.
I don't know. Just little things that when I like do videos, like I'm noticing on like commercials and stuff like that.
Right.
Little details.
Things with commercials though is they're like, there's all these little tricks, I think, to get people into whatever's happening. Aside from having a, you know, famous person on there, how many times you watch a commercial where it's like really bad, like the acting's bad, it's stupid, but it makes you think about it. It's like, oh, did you see that dumbass commercial? Or it just happens and you're like, wow, what a dumbass commercial. And then next thing you know, you're calling go to the general and save some time. And you're calling that guy. And you're like, fuck.
Exactly. So
I've always noticed that ever since I think I had a marketing class one time and we were talking about like commercials and that type of thing. And I'm like, sometimes I feel like some commercials are meant to be bad. And he's like, yeah, that's an interesting point. Like
the general is so bad, it's good. I think that's what I would sum it up as.
Right.
Especially having Shaq in the commercial.
Or the lawyer commercials. Those are always the worst.
Which one?
Call 1-800-LAW-1222. He's in the ring.
Like, catchy.
Bruce Buffer is like introducing him. Like, oh no, I think that's Sparks Law. Sparks Law got Bruce Buffer to
really?
Like. Yeah, yeah.
I wonder how much money they pay Bruce Buffer to do that. He's done stuff like that. I think most recently he did like announcements for a soccer game.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
You can pay him to do like weddings and shit. Like, now introducing Mr. and Mrs.
I would like to do that.
Yeah, that'd be sick,
that'd
right?
That'd probably be like what the whole wedding would cost. Like the whole wedding.
He's got a lot of money, Bruce Buffer.
Buffer's not cheap.
He's a world-class poker player.
Really?
I think he's got over 500,000 in winnings, which is like a top-tier guy.
Wow.
Like, yeah, he's legit.
That's awesome. I'd love to see what he looks like casually. When he's just having
he's
a good
just
time.
Chilling, yeah.
Like, he must be, like, a great dude.
You ever hear the story of him and Frank Trigg fighting in an elevator?
Yes, he's told that story. That was actually, like, on one of the... How the ads play, like, in between the pay-per-view.
Right.
They just, like, play UFC stuff all the time. Yeah, that's an awesome story.
He's like, you said the wrong thing to me. He said, what are you going to do about it? So I punched him.
What did he say to him? He interrupted or something. He called him.
I think he hit him. I think he hit him like off rip. Like Frank Trigg hit him.
Yes.
And
it's
Bruce
Frank Trigg.
I know. Fucking animal. And Bruce Buffer's like, why'd you hit me? Like, what is that? And then he goes, what are you going to do about it? And they just start beating each other's ass. In the elevator.
An announcer, too. Like,
one time I was in an elevator.
I wasn't that dude.
Right, yeah, he's legit. One time I was in an elevator and two of my buddies started fighting in there. Like, it, like, escalated to something, but then it, like, stopped quick.
Dude, I mean, in economy class, they talk about, like, your 30-second pitch or whatever. Oh, like, entrepreneurship class, sorry. And they talk about your elevator pitch.
Yeah.
So that's to say that you have to have your pitch in like a couple
quick.
Of seconds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So how is it that something like that escalates so fast in an elevator? How does that happen?
Add alcohol to that.
Ah.
To that equation.
<That's a> shortcut.
Me and two of my buddies, we were, one of my friends used to go to PC. And, you know, we were having a night out. We were drinking or whatever. And we were leaving the dorm. And we were taking an elevator. And I forget exactly if anybody said anything to anyone or what happened, but someone like bitch slapped one of the other ones in the mouth, like whoopsh, in the mouth. And the other one's like, what? And they just started like punching each other, like in the face, not like full bore, but like punching each other. Like you can hear it. And I'm just next to them, two of my buddies. It was just us three in the elevator. And then we land and the elevator opens and they're still kind of hitting each other. And there's just like four girls like waiting to get in to go up. And then they just like stopped and we walked out and the girls were like, oh my God. And I'm just ha ha laughing the whole time. Like,
it was great. It was a great night.
Thanks guys for the entertainment.
Yeah, it was great. Hey, I mean, you need stories.
For real. Were they afterwards? Were they friends?
Yeah, we're all still friends. Yeah, that's. I think Bruce said the same thing. He's like, we had a beer afterwards. That's the way I like it. We can fight, and then we're good.
I love how Dana was in the back, like in between the whole thing. Just loving the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, wow, this is awesome.
It is kind of cool. Nice controlled fight.
Yeah, I wonder if it's if that's a thing, like elevator brawls.
It's the new promotion. Just elevator fighting.
You have to fight in a box.
Like, yeah, but it's like box. It's like 12 floors. So it's like 30 seconds or something to fight.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's just like, the ref in there.
Every floor is like a round.
Yeah.
So who won that floor?
Speaking of, that's a good idea, but speaking of new, I know the thing opens and the judges are like, him, and then it just closes and they go back down. Speaking of new... That's a good idea, right?
Fun idea.
That could totally be done.
Be, like, legit. It can be for entertainment purposes only.
Right, like a rough and rowdy type thing.
Yeah, yeah. That's funny.
There's a new promotion, I guess, coming out. I'm forgetting the name of it. But
Fighting League?
I don't know. It's the one that supposedly they're going to work to do pensions for the fighters.
Yeah,
and...
I believe it's that one.
Okay.
WFL?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
I thought that PFL was going to be the next big thing.
Mm.
It's kind of just seems like another fighting league, whatever, organization. It's doing good, but I don't know that it's earned like the same traction that the UFC has or even Bellator. Like Bellator right now would be the B.
Number two.
Yeah.
Yeah. One is huge as well. Yeah, one for martial arts across the board. One is huge because they have MMA, they have kickboxing, they have Muay Thai, and they're going to introduce jiu-jitsu, like jiu-jitsu-only tournaments.
Sick.
Yeah. Mighty Mouse is fighting Rod Tang. You know Rod Tang?
No, but I know that he's fighting.
Rod Tang is like, he's like the hottest guy right now, Muay Thai. Like, he's a beast. Everyone loves him. But they're fighting, I think, a four-round fight. It's going to be first round Muay Thai, second round MMA, third round Muay Thai, fourth round MMA.
That is weird.
That is weird. That's some Japanese shit.
I know.
Yeah.
That's some stuff that only they would come up with.
But that's like a crazy idea. Like, even in my mind.
I like it.
Yeah. Even in my mind, like, open weight fights. It's dangerous. But, like, it's really, if we're talking about martial arts, like, think back. You ever watch Bloodsport with Jean-Claude Van Damme?
No, I gotta watch it. Who the heck? I swear my job is calling me again.
Fuck him. Tell him. Who is it, John?
Yeah.
Yeah, answer it. Put him on the mic. Put on speaker. Ladies and gentlemen.
Jonathan, you are on the Smoking Simian.
Hey.
Smoking Simian. Simian. Are you really at its
screen? Yes. Yes, he is. And you're interrupting, you cocksucker.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. I'll be right there. No.
Oh, well, I was going to say.
What's that?
He doesn't drive.
I take an Uber or ride like an asshole. No, I was. That answers my question. I was asking if you were still planning on coming to the gym today. But
yeah, I am. I'll see you at 1, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah. We're getting close here.
Cool. Yeah. I'll see you.
You guys are like finishing up.
Yeah. We're finishing.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. I'll see you there, man. All right. Do you have work at 2:30?
No, work today.
Just Mondays.
That's Monday and Tuesdays, yeah.
Oh, got it. Okay, cool. I'll see you there. Tell Antonio he's more than welcome to come through as well.
Okay, we'll do.
All right.
All right. See you, baby.
So long.
Where were we?
I don't remember. Oh, yeah.
You said you're more than welcome to come, by the way.
No, Bloodsport, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I gotta watch that movie, dude. As a martial artist,
that's like
how have I not watched it?
That shit'll just pump you up. Like, it's like a 80s kind of cheesy movie, but it's it's, as a kid, I would watch that shit before like karate tournaments and stuff because it's exactly what you'd expect in like a crazy fighting martial art movie. People from all over the world, different sizes, shapes, disciplines.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah.
And they just fight each other. More or less to the death.
But is that what they do?
Kind of. I mean, people die. There's a couple. There's, you know, Bolo Yang?
Bolo, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The big yoke.
Yes, yes.
He's in that movie.
I was actually going to talk about Fists or something. The Bruce Lee movie.
Yeah, I forget which one it is. Five Fingers of Death or some shit like that.
No, Five Fingers. No, I don't think so. The Way of the Fist. I don't know.
Yeah.
But Bolo was in that movie too.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's like the guy that wins all the time. He's like the big scary, like, rah, kills people. Like, you can kill. Like, it's allowed.
Oh,
like,
okay.
It's either...
It's not sanctioned then.
No, it's like underground fighting. Gotcha. Like, it's meant to be like that.
Yeah.
And Jean-Claude's like the hero and the straight edge guy who's, you know, real yoked and handsome and whatever else. But, no, it's exactly what you'd expect from like a martial arts, like fighting, you know, experience. Mm-hmm. So when in my mind, when I think of like, who's the baddest guy, let's do a open weight, no time limit, no rounds, whoever wins. And that's like Hicks and Gracie says the same thing because he comes from that era where you just fight whoever. And it's, you know, it's not, it doesn't make for a sport, doesn't really make for us, you know. The only reason something like that, what we talked about, Rod Tang and Mighty Mouse, the only reason something like that is happening is because it's in Japan. They love that shit over there. They love freak shows and crazy things.
They really do.
Yeah. Like, they used to have that big, tall, like, purple-haired Japanese guy. He's like 7'4". Used to fight in Pride. They used to love that guy. Even though he'd lose, like, Fedor broke his arm and knocked him out and all this shit. But they loved watching him. Or Anke Nobo, who was sumo wrestler, and I forgot who KO'd him. Not Maurice Smith. Somebody. Head kick. Bang! Dropped him like a fucking... Like Tower 2 on 9/11. Dropped that boy.
At 11:02 p.m.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. The thing with the PFL, I can see why they're doing it. They have that weird score system. Where it's like a finish gets you so many points. Because they do like a tournament. Finish gets you so many points, a decision, whatever. And I can see why they're doing it. Because like it gives the person that doesn't follow MMA, the casual, it gives them like a sense of scoring.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Oh, like, oh, scoring? This must be like any other sport.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I like that they have like a, like they're in season, like they have to
That's the thing.
Fight year round, sort of thing. And I think they omit elbows. Like you can't elbow somebody.
One doesn't allow elbows. Or knees,
something like that.
One doesn't allow elbows, but you can knee a downed opponent, which is pretty crazy. Yeah,
that's so much worse. I've seen that too.
Yeah,
that one
Mighty Mouse got KO'd with that.
No.
Yeah, right after he said that they should be allowed when Piotr Jan KO'd Aljamain with it. Yeah.
Oh, if that was legal there too, it would have been a whole different story. Aljamain would have had nothing to say.
Right. Damn. That was brutal. I can't wait for Piotr to beat his ass, though, when he comes back. I think he's going to win.
I wanted Aljamain in the first fight, but...
It wasn't happening.
No, this was a weird outcome.
Yeah,
I don't
very
think
weird.
That it's made me like... I don't know, either of them. Either of them more, I should say. It's left a weird taste in my mouth. Like the service was good, but the food wasn't great. So I don't know if I'll be back, but everybody was nice.
Yeah, I think...
Or the opposite.
I think Piotr is like a fucking murderer. Like,
Yeah.
Given the opportunity, he'd probably kill someone.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like anyone that's not from this country.
Yeah.
Just has especially a Russia. Attitude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's scary over there.
Someone said when... What's his name?
Russian guy?
Marco Krokop. Okay. Marco Krokop stared...
Vanderlei.
Vanderlei Silva in their fight. It said that someone commented, I don't know if it was an original comment, but they said Vanderlei, when they stared each other down, do you remember that?
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so it looked, it's, they said Vanderlei Silva looks like he's about to kill someone.
Mm.
Marco Krokop looks like he already did.
Which he has, I'm pretty sure.
Yes.
He was a like KGB or whatever. It's a SWAT over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's killed people. with a knife. Huh? Like with a knife, like damn. Like not like an easy way. Like I got to look at you.
We're over here laughing now.
Yeah, ha ha ha. Fucking. No, but there's some guys.
Scary, man.
You know who else is a scary guy? He's from America. Just his demeanor, Matt Brown. And I bring him up because he died. Like he died and came back. He's seen the other side. So I think if you've seen...
Oh, my, he died?
Yeah. When? No, I think if you've crossed that plane and come back, you probably... There's probably something different about you, like I would think. Like, you don't fear anything, I would assume.
Right.
Yeah. Oof. Same probably goes for killing a guy.
Right. Yeah, at that point. Like, fighting is like...
Yeah, this is
not
fun.
The worst thing.
Yeah.
Where it must be like life changing for somebody. I know I've made decisions on whether I want to continue fighting or not because of the injuries. But I feel like that if you've killed someone like that, yeah. I feel like oh fighting oh it's not the worst thing.
That yeah, can whatever.
To me. What was I gonna say?
We were talking about murderous Russians.
No, this was about the fighting league and. I do hope that it grows to be like everything that they've aspired to.
Right.
I'd love to see that be like any other job where they take care of the fighters and they get paid right. And
yes.
Like a fighters union and whatnot.
And then now they can pick it.
Yeah, just like me. I can teach them a thing or two.
Right.
Or I'll be fighting and I'll be like, guys, I've done this before. You just give me the megaphone.
Do you know, since we're back on the picketing topic, do you know... You ever hear of the Westboro Baptist Church?
Yes. Is that the they hate gay people?
Yeah, they hate gay people. Yes. They hate they picket soldiers like funerals, like they're fucked up.
What do you mean they picket soldiers?
Like you know, God hates soldiers.
What?
You know, they kill, so they have, you know, they're damned. They're just as damned as a person that kills for no reason. Or kills just, you know, recklessly.
Well, geez, that's weird. They're so wrong on, like, a lot of stuff.
They're oh, no,
like,
they're the worst.
Yeah, they're the worst.
They're right? A cult. They're a cult.
Yo, definitely.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's yeah. Like, they're, like, so religious, it's off-putting. But I read the Bible. I'm not the best reader at it, but I'm pretty sure God was condoning, like, a lot of murder.
Oh, yeah.
He, like, led people to kill other people.
So. You know how many people have died in the name of religion? Like,
it's crazy. Yeah.
Just Palestine and Israel. Yeah. That's the biggest one, you know, for ages and ages.
Yeah, for real.
Or the Taliban. Like, that's just a extremist Muslim group. Like, follow Islam to, like, the fucking T plus add the killing and the psychopath. You know, the psychopathy, if that's a word. We make up words here all the time. It's okay.
Conversing.
Yeah, exactly. It's been twice now.
What was I going to say? Yeah. I want to see them one day get paid. Because I think the NFL did this once. They became a union, not... Like a while ago.
Yeah, well, they came together. There used to be two pro football leagues. They merged to the NFL.
Which I want to say something about that, too.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm dying over here.
just gonna gloss over that. No. So that was happening during like the first 40 years. I don't know exactly when it happened, but it was happening like the first 40 years of pro football.
Yeah.
Pretty sure. I don't know the whole history, but the UFC and MMA is so new that I feel like this is what we're going through now. Where it's like we're starting to do things like that. Like it's so, or like I feel like that's what the process of any sport goes through. Maybe we won't see that in our lifetime when our fighters fight. Like maybe they won't be in a union or whatnot. But I think ever so lately, like in the last couple of years, fighters are speaking up more and more and more about fighter pay.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, oh, okay. So this is not going to go away is what that tells me. And I hope it becomes louder and louder and louder, so much louder that like something is eventually done about it. Like adding a 25K to the 50K bonus is not the thing we were looking for.
Sure.
Like they had that in one pay-per-view, but then it just went back to 50K. I hope to, like, this is, I feel like eventually there's going to be a league. This is what I'm hoping for, that just like the NFL and AFC, oh, I don't know what the other.
AFC, NFC. Those are like the conferences.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But before, when it was the NFL versus another one, they just took the NFL name. And I know there was another name.
Right, right.
But I feel like maybe one day we could see something like that. Maybe not won't happen, but like WFL would merge with UFC and the best of both worlds would just come up with something together. And
sure.
This would become the future and the standard of MMA. Like, that'd be awesome. Because MMA is a very legit sport. And right. They should be treated like every other athlete who gets paid a lot of money. Like, I understand you don't have scholarships and you don't go to school for it. And then eventually you get drafted into the UFC. But these guys are doing just the same amount of work. Like, some of them quit high school. Some of them quit, don't go to college so they can focus on MMA. Mm-hmm. Those are years that's still school to me. That's why I say, I don't say it, but I want to say that I go to school. But people aren't going to understand. Like, oh, sure. You pay tuition and whatnot. It's like, no, but this is a school to me. Mm. Like, I'm still going to school. It's in the martial arts school, which I take seriously. And has a potential to go somewhere big.
Well, to your point, as you said, the sport, it being considered a sport, let alone the fact of how long it's been around, is even newer. Mm-hmm. Like, MMA started in the on a public scale where people could watch, started in the 90s. Mm-hmm. People didn't take it seriously till Chuck Liddell, maybe. And even then, it's like, these guys are crazy. He's got a mohawk and he's mm-hmm. tatted on the side of his head. And, you know, even then it's like people, it was illegal in New York until UFC 205, which is what, 4 years ago now?
Mm-hmm.
5 years ago, something like that.
Yeah.
It is still incredibly new. So you're right. I think there is a lot to be worked out. You know, but there is something to be said about allowing a bunch of different organizations to exist because it gives fighters different options. Think about it. If you want to play pro football in America, all there is the NFL.
Right.
That's it. You can play semi-pro. You can play in Canada. They have the CFL. Nobody cares. But, you know, it's like before, back in the day when UFC bought Affliction and Elite FC and Strikeforce and all these.
It's crazy.
You know what I'm saying? It's like a monopoly. They made it so that now we're going to pay you whatever the fuck we want, and that's it. So now you see fighters go to Bellator, and they're like, I'm making way more money here than I was in the UFC.
Crazy.
But UFC uses their leverage. They have the machine behind them. They have Disney, ESPN. They have the most coverage. They have the best reporters. They have the best facilities. You have more potential. You have potential to earn more. If that makes sense.
No, yeah, it does.
But a lot of guys don't because of various reasons. Like, if you're boring, the only reason those bonuses are put in there is to make exciting fights. KO of the night, submission of the night, performance of the night. That's to incentivize fighters to be exciting. If you get a guy that grapples and lays on a guy and wins the fight, he's not going to get the opportunity to make a lot of money. Whereas in Bellator, where you can get sponsorships, that guy can still get plenty of sponsorships, fight how he wants, doesn't have to take punishment. You know, like you hear all the time, guys have to, Colby Covington, he was about to get cut. He had to create a character, make himself, you know, make people want to watch him. So it's a weird game. I mean, that's why I watch from afar. I participate. I always say that I'll never fight for money. I do it for fun, because once money comes in, then it gets wonky. And that's with everything. You know, I mean, unless you're building like this, I want to make money off of. But, you know, this isn't as labor intensive and as detrimental to my health as a fight.
Of course.
Fighting career, you know.
Did you do well with that coffee that you were promoting?
No, I didn't make any money. But that's, you know, I did that to get an idea of what it's like to have a sponsorship. It wasn't a sponsorship. I called it a sponsorship. They all know that it wasn't a sponsorship. It was an affiliate marketing program, which is, you know, less secure. Because you get sponsored, then it's usually like, hey, we give you some money. You talk about the product. If they use your code, you get a little bit more money. Whereas an affiliate marketing program, you only get money if they buy. So if you don't have the reach during an affiliate marketing program, there's no money. Whereas if you get a sponsorship, even if people don't buy, they paid you a little something ahead,
right?
You know, on the front end.
Do you know if people were buying off of your affiliate program?
I mean, I know that they didn't, because they give you like a dashboard, you know what I'm saying? Like the, you know, and it says how much money you make and whatever. And it was zero the whole time.
Oh, wow.
So it's pretty good.
Cool.
Well, my friend, you got to go exercise, and okay. I'm getting on a plane tomorrow, so I have a couple things that I got to worry about.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'll ask you one more question.
Go ahead.
Where is this podcast at in your head? Like, where is it at? Is it in a good spot? What would you like for it for the future? And what do you want from it? I know you said you want to make money off of it, but we had talked about it last time. I just want to see.
So you mean the show as a whole, or this episode?
No, the smoking scene in general.
Yeah.
Do you aspire this episode to go far? Break records.
No, I mean, I have a problem.
Has your viewership grown?
Oh, yeah, definitely, which is cool. Awesome. I mean, I have a weird relationship with the word want. There's a lot of things that I've found that when I say I want, I don't get it. Whereas, or I'll get it and it's not like fulfilling, like it wasn't what I expected. So yes, we all have wants. In the back of my mind, I want this show to be big. I want to be able to get whoever I want in the world. You know what I'm saying? I want to get this person, that person, still be able to have my friends on, give them platforms, you know, whatever's going on in their life. If, you know, I have friends who work in trades. If at one point in their life they want to start their own business and I have a platform. Last week I had Jay-Z on the show. This week, come on, we'll talk about your plumbing fucking business. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So more than anything, I guess what I want from the show is to be able to have interesting people, regardless of status, and be able to highlight the things that are going on around me with the friends that I came up with. Mm-hmm. Because the biggest thing for me, I mean, a lot of this show doesn't happen without the guests. Most of the show doesn't happen without the guests.
Right.
So, you know, I even said, I know you're working on putting your podcast back together. I hope this kind of helps, if anything.
Yeah, for sure.
If anything, hope maybe it motivates you to get back into working on it and whatever else. That's really what I want. I want to spread the wealth. I guess, if that, the wealth in terms of exposure and
yeah, for sure,
that type of thing. And not every episode is going to be plugging somebody's business. Sometimes it's just cool to hang out and just, you know.
I like it, yeah.
A lot of the times I'm busy. My last episode or one of my past episodes, I was talking about how I work at a job 4 days a week, and then I do this 7 days a week. So
seven?
More or less, yeah. Because when I'm not actively recording, I'm getting guests, or I'm working on clips, or I'm putting episodes together, and I'm coming up with different ideas for solo episodes. So
how many hours do you think you spend on this in a week?
In a week? I mean, it's hard to say. It's because I spread it out pretty evenly, or I spread it out well. Mm-hmm. Some days I'll just sit down and work for, you know, 3-4 hours on it.
Well,
other times I'll, you know, spread it out. Today I'll record, tomorrow I'll put it together and upload it. So I don't know, 10, 15, which is significantly more than when I started. When I started, it was, you know, 5 hours a week or something. So in my mind, that's a sign of progress as well, that you have, you know, it requires more attention from you.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's good.
So, well, anyway, sir, thank you so much for coming on. We didn't talk at all about your podcast, but
Doesn't matter. Go ahead and... I'll have you on, so that's the way we'll be able to talk about that.
Perfect. Where can people find you, sir, on the socials?
People can find me at Fight Sculpture on Instagram. Just type that in. Sculpture, like a Roman sculpture.
Right.
Yes. Fight Sculpture.
That's the new name of it? The new name of the show?
Yes, actually.
Okay.
my podcast is called Talk or Tap. That's still the same.
Oh, it's still the same.
Changed the name of the brand itself. It used to be The Fight Experience, but I felt like subconsciously I came up with that because of the Joe Rogan Experience.
Sure.
Maybe I didn't, but it sounded too close.
Yeah.
So The Fight Sculpture, by definition, sounds a lot closer to my goal.
Sure.
Like what it is about.
Yeah.
And I want to come up with an awesome logo. I'm going to talk to John Amore. We've been really busy. So.
Shout out John Amore.
Yes. And yeah.
He'll be on here soon.
So what I'm going to do is when I make the brand, cool, I'm going to buy a bunch of shirts. I want to have some nice shirts.
Yeah.
And every time I have a guest.
New shirt.
Give you a shirt.
Hell
so
yeah.
So you can wear it. And then that will be like one of the ways.
Get the word out.
Say, oh, what shirt is that? I mean, the shirt has to be awesome. And it is right. Awesome the way I've envisioned that. Yeah. The
can't be no bitch ass shirt.
It's like some Rizzy stuff.
Oh, shit.
For real. In my head, anyways.
Scrody the Scrotum. That's their mascot.
Who?
Rizzy's mascot. Scrody the Scrotum. It's a ball sack. Dead ass. You can Google it. All right, guys. We're done. Make sure you follow me as well. Links in the description. Go to obsessiveaggression.com if you want some gloves. Peace.
All right. Thanks.